Amen. Well, what a great truth in that song. Yeah. Unto Him who's more than able. And I'm thankful that we have a great God who is alive. He's on the throne. And no matter what happens in this world around us, He is more than able to do beyond what we can ask or think. And it's a wonderful thing to think about the reality of what God will do through His people when we yield our life to Him, when we humble ourselves before Him. And when we are willing to pray and seek His face, He is a God who loves to intervene on our behalf and show Himself mighty. And yet so many times we I know in my own life, I'm so quick to doubt, to question, or just not to trust, and to trust in some human reason or whatever. But I thank God for who He is. Thank you all so much for the wonderful testimonies. Those were a great encouragement to us. And it's definitely going to be one of the biggest things I feel like we're giving up is being here with all of you. And that kind of, it's the how the Lord prepares you along the way and being on deputation out in different churches. I remember when that started and I just remember thinking, man, I miss being there. You know, it's really a hard thing to not be there. And yet the Lord just gave grace and gave us great joy and fulfillment as we traveled to all these different churches. It was just a great encouragement to us and a great opportunity that I think is definitely just of the Lord. And I know He used it. We are along the way just praying that God would use us to see hearts burdened for the harvest and burdened to go into the foreign field. And I was just sitting here thinking tonight, how many people here tonight have sensed a definite burden in your heart for the foreign field? Let's see your hands. Those of you who, I mean, and not just a general burden to pray for the foreign field, but maybe that God would, you sense that maybe God would one day down the road have you on the foreign mission field. Let's see your hands up in the air really quick. Okay. All right. There's a good number. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, we trust that all of us would be, every one of us would be involved in the Great Commission. I love when Pastor was talking about that term, I love to think about the fact, even from that phrase that he mentioned, and lo, I am with you always. And, you know, it's called the Great Commission, and you could go into many different, expositions on that phrase and why it's called that. But one thing that I love to think about the most is that it's a co-mission. All right, we're partnered with Jesus Christ Himself. And that's just a glorious truth, a wonderful reality to me. It's been a great encouragement to me to think about that and to think about that truth, that lo, I am with you alway. And just in the verses before, just before that, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go into all the world. And it's because of that power that he has that he has. He obtains it, and he is the one that is partnered with us. And wherever we are, whether it's right here in Maquonago, you know, just in these last couple of years, the Lord has really worked in my heart about just trusting God more for reaching souls and for witnessing. And it's marvelous to see how the Lord opens doors, how he builds your courage and builds your faith. And there's so many times where I feel so weak and so feeble and so inadequate. And I think that's good in a way, though, because then it helps us to remember that it's God that has to do the work through a weak vessel like you and me. And if we think that we're strong, if we think that we're really accomplishing something for the Lord, then that's where when pride steps in and God can't work and God can't use us like he wants to. But it's just been neat to see the Lord continue to increase the burden in my heart for souls. And I just remember thinking shortly after we got back from our survey trip, I remember telling Christina, you know, I don't want to go there just because this has been an idea that I've had since my childhood. You know, even years before Michael and Tina knew they were going. Kenya was a burden that God had put on my heart and had used Dr. Rick to burn my heart that way. But I just remember thinking, you know, I want God to just really do a work in my life that would prepare me. You know, if I'm not winning souls over here, if I'm not going out and trusting God in his harvest field right here, then I'm not going to be able to do it over there. I'm not going to last long at all, especially over there, you know, in a foreign country where you're not used to living. And it's just been neat to see the Lord work in my heart and show me how much more I need to depend on Him, and to be able to go out and win souls, to be able to witness to people. And it is just an amazing thing. I'm sure many of you could stand up and testify of this, but to be able to go up to somebody and you, and that the Lord prompts you to witness to, and you feel kind of afraid. You know, anybody ever felt that before out there? Yeah, you kind of feel a little bit afraid about doing it. You know, maybe you look at their demeanor or their, you know, their friends that they're hanging out with or whatever, and you feel that fear, like, what are they going to say? What's going to happen here? And I have just been amazed more times than I've been disappointed to see the Lord, how the Lord had prepared that person. And what looked like somebody that was really hard, going to be, you know, going to really just be blatant and you know, throw up their hands and laugh at me or something or come after me. You know, it's like they actually will sit and talk to you. And it's just amazing how God wants to work through us. He wants us to just trust in Him and believe in Him and see souls reach, see people come to know Christ and see the gospel spread around this world, around this community. So as I was sitting here thinking and just thinking through the burden that God had in my heart, there's just so many things going through my mind. I'll try to narrow it down and just, you know, share what God would want and preach what God wants tonight. But one thing I thought I'd just mention before I get into the message tonight is one thing that God has really opened my eyes to as well that has been a huge encouragement to us is a truth in Philippians chapter 2. And that passage, verses 5 through 11, I think it is, has just been a huge encouragement to me. And many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with that passage, but the thing that's been a huge encouragement to me is the reality of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And when you think about that, you think about missions, the great commission that every one of us are given. We're commissioned to give the gospel here in our home area, our Jerusalem, and around the world, and to be involved in prayer. But you look at that passage, and you can look at it another time if you want, or even now briefly, but you'll notice in the first few verses how Jesus Christ humbled Himself. He lowered Himself. And when you think about a missionary leaving his home country and going to a foreign land, there is no missionary that has ever made a sacrifice to do that comes anywhere close to what Jesus did. When you think about the home that He left, absolute perfection, absolute glory and beauty and majesty and holiness and peace and tranquility and just beauty. And He left that so that He could come to this foreign country where you and I roam for this short time here on the earth, this short vapor of a life that we have. He left that so He could come here and become one of His own creation, and then allow us as His creation to spit in His face, the one who made Him. Allow us to spit in His face. Allow us to rip the beard out of His face. Allow us to mock Him. And He just stood there as a lamb that was just dumb, couldn't speak a word. When a lamb goes to the slaughter, they're just silent. And they go to the slaughter. And here the Son of God left heaven so He could come to a place like this where people harbor bitterness, a place where people hate, a place where people kill, a place where people hold grudges and pursue violence against one another, a place where people argue, a place where there's destruction and death and just hatred for the Creator and the Savior who came and gave His life. And He came here to this earth. And I just think about that, and I'm just encouraged by that, because where in this world could I ever go that would even compare to that contrast that Jesus Christ experienced when He left His home and came here to this earth for you and for me, so that you and I could be rescued from the eternal flames of fire. It just blows my mind, and it's just such a huge encouragement to me. And so I just wanted to share that as we get started tonight. And as we think about that, I would love for us, we'll be here Wednesday night and looking forward to that service as well, but this will be our last service here together for a Sunday night. But I was just thinking, you know, and praying, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to preach? And I was just burdened, and I've heard other missionaries preach and have the same burden. But as I was leaving, I was just thinking, you know, when I leave, there's a lot of faces out here that I know well. And almost every, you know, I could name the name of every person here in the room here tonight, I believe. And say things about that person, describe you. I know everybody well. My wife as well knows, you know, she could do the same thing. But I was just thinking, you know, it's been 5 years since Michael and Tina were here on their last furlough. And I wonder how many faces they're going to recognize when they come back here after 5 years. Now, there could be a good side to that and a bad side. And I think you probably know where I'm going. But, you know, after 5 years, how many people, let's just see really quick, how many of you have met Michael and Tina before? And you can look around and see you've met Michael and Tina before. If you haven't, it's not a bad thing. Don't worry, okay? Just wanted to get a feel. So I'd say the majority, at least 50%, maybe 60% of the people in here have met them. And but there's a lot of new people, and that's a good thing because there's, you know, people that have started coming, have been reached with the gospel, or maybe the Lord led you here in some other way, and you already knew Christ as your Savior. But at the same time, I am sure that there were, you know, I don't know how many, Pastor could probably give us a better idea of how many people that were here when Michael and Tina were here last that are not coming now. And it's not because they have gone to a foreign mission field to go plant churches. It's not because they have, you know, died and gone to heaven. I'm sure there definitely are some in that condition, in that situation. But it's a lot of them are because people have strayed from the faith. They have given up on God in a sense, or maybe they've, you know, maybe there's some. I'm sure there's some that God has just clearly led on to another church or another ministry, maybe. But there are many that have stopped coming. They're not living for the Lord anymore. And one of the greatest fears in my heart is to come back here and find out about people that were once living for God and no longer are. I fear that probably more than anything in leaving this place and going to where God wants us to go. And I know it's all in the Lord's hands, but I just wanted to mention that and encourage God's people here tonight to think about that. And I know it's not my words that are going to keep somebody faithful to God, but it's you letting God work in your life. It's you surrendering your heart to God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in many areas, many ways. Men, I'm preaching to many people that have been faithful to God for many, many years, and to the house of the Lord and to God's work right here in Mequonago. But I just would love to encourage you and challenge you with that tonight. And to see God's people here tonight, just commit yourselves to God's work. Be sold out to it and dedicated to it. And that we would not come back and hear of spiritual fatalities. Even after 1 year, a lot can change. And we need, body of believers that are going to hold the fort, that are going to hold the ropes, and be praying for one another. You know, we need to pray for one another just as much as we pray for missionaries on the foreign field. And so those are just some burdens that God put in my heart, and I thought I'd start off with those. But let's take our Bibles this evening and start off briefly in the book of Acts chapter 13. If you have your Bible, hold it up in the air. Let's see all the Bibles here tonight. I always loved Pastor Grant Rice when he would come. Look at that. Almost everybody, I think, has a Bible in their hand. That's great. Or on their electronic device or something. But anyways, all right, that's good. You can follow along with the Word of God. That is so important. Acts chapter 13. I've heard in some countries that are under persecution where they have smartphones, they have it on their phones. You know, they're not allowed. They'd be thrown in jail if they were caught carrying it. But you can have it on your phone or something like that. And thankfully, we haven't, you know, we're not in that condition yet. But as we heard the message this morning, if things continue the way they are, and we may see that day come where we'll be persecuted for carrying Bibles. But anyways, Acts chapter 13, I love this passage here because it speaks about a example to all of us of a man of God who is dedicated to the work of God, dedicated completely with his life. And he was a human being just like you and I, but yet he was a servant of God that was used of God mightily. And that is the Apostle Paul. And there's other people mentioned here in the passage. But if you look at Acts chapter 13, verse 3, the Bible says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And I just would like us this evening to think about the significance of prayer, the significance of prayer, and the impact that God's people can have for eternity through prayer. I know this is a message that I needed, and it was in many ways as I was preparing for it, just the Lord just smote my heart in so many areas and has been working in my heart. I remember back a couple of years ago, one of the first missions conferences we went to on our deputation was at Falls Baptist Church, and there was a man, a preacher there by the name of Gil Torres, a Hispanic fellow, and he didn't actually know any Spanish until he got into his 20s and got saved, and the Lord got a hold of his heart, and the church he was at needed a Spanish pastor. And so he learned Spanish, and God has used him in a mighty way. But the theme of that conference, I remember, was on prayer. That man preached on prayer every single service in that conference. And he was a man that I know I'd heard from other people, was very familiar with this, what they did in this verse, fasting and praying. I heard somebody even tell me that he had actually fasted for 40 days, and he didn't announce that. He was one of the most humble men you'd ever meet, and through his preaching, it was, you could just tell the power of God was on his life because of prayer. And ever since then, he really challenged everybody in that conference all week long, or however long it was, he challenged us about many things, but one thing that really jumped out to me was the challenge he gave to pray for at least an hour every day. And I just remember thinking, wow, an hour every day. You know, that's long, and I wish I could stand up here and say I have been totally faithful in that ever since hearing that preaching, but I cannot say that. But the Lord has definitely convicted me and grown me in some areas, has a lot more growing to do. But the Lord burdened my heart for prayer and the significance of prayer. And I'd love for us to look at that tonight. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for what you will do in our hearts here tonight. Lord, thank you for how you are working and for this wonderful church that you have established. Lord, many, many dear brothers and sisters in Christ here. And Lord, we are excited about what you're going to do in our hearts, even right now, as you meet with us. And Lord, we just pray for your strength, your guidance, your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love to read quotes from men of the past that have had been used of the Lord. Of course, we have the Word of God. That is the only, you know, inspired word that we have that is directly from God. But there have been other men throughout history that have been used of God. And one man that I found many quotes from on prayer is Leonard Ravenhill. And let me just read a couple of these here. Think about this. He says, "No man is greater than his prayer life. No man is greater than his prayer life." And a lot of times I like to think I'm greater, but then God hits me in the face so graciously and reminds me, no man is greater than his prayer life. "The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers." Our pastor was a wrestler, so he's continuing on in a spiritual wrestle, though, so that's a blessing, much greater. "Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." I hope you believe that, because that is true. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Another one here. "The early church was married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions." And you could add prayer. You can see that in the book of Acts clearly. "Today, the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity." If we had more sleepless nights in prayer, there would be fewer souls to have a sleepless eternal night in hell. A book that Andrew Murray wrote on the ministry of intercessory prayer. I've not read through the book, but my sister-in-law in Kenya sent a little email a while ago as she was in the hospital, I believe, was reading through that book. And she snapped a picture of one page and sent it. And I was as I read that, I thought, I need to read that book. And I went online. It's actually on Google Books, a free book. Brother Ross, you probably would like that, I'm sure. And anyways, save some money on buying some good books. But here's what he says in that book. One thing that he said, there were just so many amazing things. The highest exercise and glory of prayer is that persevering boldness that can prevail and obtain what God at first could not and would not give. Many people question, but if the answer to prayer is so positively promised, why are there so many unanswered prayers? Christ taught us that the answer depended upon certain conditions. He spoke of faith, of perseverance, of praying in His name, of praying according to the will of God. But all these conditions were summed up in one truth, and here it is. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. That's the key right there. Very simple. Just, you know, I love simple little truths that can change my life. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So it became clear that the power to pray the effectual prayer of faith depends upon our life in Christ. How much we are abiding in Christ. When we're abiding in Christ, I believe we'll have a burden to pray because we'll realize that He is the source of life. He is the source that we must go to when we are facing any challenge. God inhabits eternity. There's no surprises to Him. There's nothing that He cannot handle. There's nothing too hard for Him. God desires to fellowship with us even though we are sinners. Isn't that amazing? He is perfectly holy, and we, at our best, the Bible says, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. How many of you enjoy wiping off your plate with a filthy rag? You know, it's been sitting out in the dirt and the grime and muck, and maybe it was used out in the barn to wash a window off or something like that, or to wipe off a who knows what, you know? How would you like, that's the best. That's the best we can do. But because of Jesus Christ and His blood imparted to us when we receive Christ by faith, we can become acceptable to God. We can pray to a God who is holy. And the book of Hebrews talks much about that, a wonderful book that talks about who Christ is and all He has done for us, all that has been made available to us because of Jesus Christ. So many times we as Christians pray only when we find ourselves in a tough situation. I'm sure you could talk to the Hatchett family and learn what God has taught them through prayer and has taught them about prayer as they go through some deep waters, as they go through tremendous trials. And, you know, that was a great impact in my life during my time at camp that God used was Mr. Scott and his family just being so dedicated to the Lord, so willing to trust God in the midst of great trials. They never... You know, I never heard one bit of mocking God, one bit of questioning, and I guarantee they had questions and still do. But you know what? God can give us the grace to trust Him in great trials. But so many times we don't really pray to Him. We don't cry out to Him. We don't seek Him until we're faced with some big dilemma. And then, oh, we get on our knees and we start crying out to God. And that's great. We need to do that. Don't ever do anything else when you're faced with a huge dilemma. But you know what? God wants us to be there on a regular basis. He wants us to come boldly to His throne of grace when we're in time of need. And we're always in time of need. But we easily forget that one of the main reasons God created mankind was for the purpose of fellowship. He wants to talk to us and He wants us to talk to Him. He wants that. More than you could ever want it. Many times, you know, we allow sin to fester in our life and we allow it in, and we think, man, you know, we kind of kick ourselves and we stop trusting God's promise that He's willing to cleanse us. If we would confess it and deal with it on God's terms, He will restore us. God wants us to not only pray in tough times, but furthermore to daily understand the unseen spiritual battle that raging around us, and pray earnestly for souls, for your own soul, for God to strengthen you and encourage your heart, and pray for other souls. God does many things because He is a sovereign God, but He has also chosen to fulfill His will on earth according to the faith and prayers of His children. Did you know that? He has chosen to fulfill His will. And there are certain things that God could not and would not do unless God's people pray as they ought. That truth just hit me the other day. God is all powerful. He can do anything. He has been gracious and merciful and moved in hearts even when they weren't. You know, all of us who know Christ as Savior, we were all wandering in the darkness of sin. None of us were seeking after God when Christ came and drew us with those cords of love and bound us to Himself. When we received Christ as our Savior, none of us were seeking after Him. He has sought us. But yet at the same time, as His children, we must continually seek Him. Are we willing, though, to keep our eyes off of this world? And when I say that, I'm not just talking about, going downtown Milwaukee and being awed by the worldliness and saying, oh, I wish I could live that way. No, when I say, are we willing to keep our eyes off of this world? I'm talking about the things that tempt us day after day. The things that draw us away from the Lord day after day. The things that Satan uses to tempt us day after day and time after time. Those are the things that, you know, maybe it's a relationship that you are just longing for. Maybe it's some article of clothing. Maybe it's, you know, you envy somebody else's personality and you want that for yourself. Maybe it's a relationship struggle that you're having and you want to get past it and you're not seeking the Lord for it. Are we willing to pray as He wants us to pray? Notice, first of all, that God longs to hear us pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll try to move quickly through these now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. God longs to hear us pray. The Bible says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, don't forget that part, let your requests be made known unto God. So in everything, by prayer. We were challenged with a great message Wednesday night as Pastor John preached on total dependence on the Lord. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't forget the thanksgiving part. You know, we're so quick to cry out for something we think we want or need, and then we fail to give thanks to God. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I was going to share at this point here how the Lord worked in our heart about just providing that meeting, that first church that called us and asked us to come. And I mentioned that already earlier, but I'll just kind of reference it briefly here. But we were praying for God to just start us down the deputation trail. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. I had no idea how God would do this. But I was just asking, Lord, if this is what You want. And God had given us a real peace while we were in Kenya. After the first couple of weeks we were there, Christina one night, Tina and I were, everybody was in bed and we were just talking, you know, and I said, so what do you think about Kenya? You know, how do you feel? And what do you sense? You know, as far as we've been here a couple of weeks now, and we got to talking. We both expressed our inner feelings that, you know, we both just were not sure that this is what the Lord had. And that night I said, Let's just pray for God to make this very clear to us and to give us a peace in our heart before we go back to the States in like 5 or 6 weeks, whatever it was. And it was during that time that, you know, one of the last nights we were there, I brought up the topic again. I said, so how are things? You know, what do you sense? And I knew what I had sensed in my heart, but I wanted God to do the work in her heart as well. And we both talked that night and expressed with each other that God had given us both that peace, that there's nowhere else in the world that we could pursue going other than Kenya and have peace in our heart. And it was just a glorious thing to sit and talk about that and to realize that God had given us that peace. He had done that work during those weeks. He had answered that prayer. And I have a lot more to learn about praying and seeing God answer prayer, but that was exciting to see God answer that prayer and then come back and pray for God to just start us down the deputation trail and to see Him do that by bringing about that church that just called us and took us on. But you know what? If we are going to be able to pray, you know, God longs to hear us pray, but if we're going to do that, we must have a clean heart in order to truly pray. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's frightening to think that I could be living in a state, a condition of being deceived, and God would not hear my prayers. I remember at some point when I was in seminary, I remember the Lord convicting me while I was in a chapel service up at BCM, just about some things in my past that I had never, that I knew were wrong, and I needed to call my mom and dad and make that right. So I remember calling home, my mom answered, and you know, I always have those fears like they're going to hate me for this or they're going to be upset at me for this. But the Lord gave grace to share some of those things, and you know what? She didn't hate me for it. And I'm sure you're not surprised at that. But God gave forgiveness. He gave restoration and that renewed strength and that revived presence of the Lord. And that was just a wonderful time, a wonderful thing to think about. And if you are here tonight and you're holding back something against another person here in the church, God cannot hear your prayer. He can't hear your prayer. If you're if there's some sin in your life that you're harboring that hasn't been dealt with properly, I'm not saying that we need to go around broadcasting every sin that ever comes to our mind. Okay, some people kind of get overly introspective on things like this. But if you have done something against somebody else and they know it, you need to go to them. You need to. Maybe it's mom or dad. Maybe it's another person here in the church. But you need to go to them in order for God to hear your prayer, in order for you to be right with God. But you know, one person in this church can hinder the blessing of God through that, the ways God wants to bless this church through harboring sin in their life. You might think, well, I'm just the only one involved in this, and you know, I can kind of keep doing this, and you know, it's going to be okay. But just realize the impact that you are having. But the opposite is true. If God's people are right with God, we've gone to other people and, you know, that we have sinned against and they know we've sinned against them. We've gone to them. We've gone to God. We can be restored. We can have a restored relationship with God. I love what Leonard Ravenhill says in regard to this. Things that creep into Christians' lives, things that are allowed into the lives of Christians that hinder our prayer life. He says, how can you pull down strongholds of Satan if you don't even have the strength to turn off your TV? How can you pull down strongholds of Satan if you don't have the strength to turn off your TV? If you don't have the strength to resist popping in that DVD you know you shouldn't watch? Or, you know, how can you? And I'm not trying to get people to doubt whether or not you can live for God. I'm saying if that's you, just deal with it and get on the right terms of God with God tonight. Just, you know, admit it before God. Deal with it. Get rid of it. Maybe you need to go home tonight and pitch out a bunch of movies or, you know, whatever. I know there's all kinds of things on the internet. Maybe there's some kind of accountability you need to get with somebody else. to help you to get back on the path of victory in that area. But we must humble ourselves before Him daily. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." What a glorious truth. He's not a God that's waiting to just beat us over the head because we're doing wrong. He is a God of mercy that is waiting to show mercy. His mercies are new. He delights in showing mercy, the Psalms tell us. We must humble ourselves, though, before Him. So God longs to hear us pray. Secondly, God beckons us to come directly to His throne. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. God beckons us to come directly to His throne. He longs to hear us pray, and He beckons us to come directly to His throne. I love to imagine the reality of this verse. When I'm praying, I love to picture what the throne room of heaven might look like. The throne room of heaven, I mean, imagine that. God, the God of heaven and earth, who created the billions of stars and the galaxies and has them all named and numbered, there He sits, the glory of God on the throne. And He says to come boldly to the throne of grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." In other words, he understands how you feel. He knows. He has come here and experienced every part of it. "But was in all points tempted like as we are." Wow. "Yet without sin." Verse 16, "Now let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He beckons us to come directly to His throne. Oswald Chambers says, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in His good time, because His idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours. We need to wait on Him. So God longs to hear us pray. God beckons us to come directly to His throne. How amazing. And we can do that because of Jesus Christ. He has provided the way. He has provided that pure, sinless blood to cover our sins and make us acceptable to a God that is absolutely righteous and holy. Last of all, God gives us power over Satan and his forces when we humbly yield to Him and pray. God gives us power over Satan and his forces when we humbly yield to Him and pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. God gives us power over Satan and his forces when we humbly yield to Him and pray. How can that be? I mean, that deceiver, Satan, he's been around so long, he's so much smarter than us. How in the world could we outsmart him? You know, he's been at it thousands of years, and the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's us. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's who we are. And we need to remember that. But in Christ, praise God, we have the righteousness of Christ imparted to us. And God gives us power over Satan and his forces when we humbly yield to Him and pray. And as we are, when we're right with Him, when we can truly pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Okay, picture that. Satan, everything under his feet. That means he has control, doesn't he? He has control over the Supreme Court. He's in control, and gave him to be the head, that is Jesus Christ, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow, how significant, how important for us to be a part of the church. What a blessing to have a church like this here tonight that is seeking to abide in the truth. You know, there's no other agenda, there's no other plan but to just follow the truth. And I've grown up here in this church and I have seen that lived out. Does that mean every one of us here are perfect heavenly saints? No, we're sinners saved by grace and we all have room to grow. But you know what? We can be a part of a church that got where Jesus Christ is the head. And because we are in Christ as a believer, we can claim this promise here as we go to God in prayer. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principality and power and might. That tells me that I don't have to fear the wicked one. When he's throwing those old darts of temptation at me that he has gotten me to give in to before, I don't have to give in. I can call out to Jesus Christ. I can claim the blood, the power. There is power in the blood. We sing that song. That is where we as Christians receive the power to say no to temptation, where we receive the power to have boldness to go out and give the gospel and to go places in this globe that God wants us to go, or to go across the street to give the gospel when we're afraid to do it, to go and just show the love of Christ. He hath put all things under his feet. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have this promise given to us. Are you living it? Are you claiming it tonight? Are you living in the realm that God wants us to live, that we, in Christ, we are far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named? And you think, well, yeah, when I'm in church, you know, I feel so pumped up about these things and I feel so like I can just get out, go out there and take on the world. But you know what? It's not this, we don't need to capture this feeling that we have in church. Grab a hold of this promise and take it with you. He hath put all things under his feet. When you're at work tomorrow, you can claim this promise. When you're at home, wherever you are, and when you are facing those temptations of maybe bitterness or temptations to feed the lust of your flesh or temptations to argue with somebody, temptations to lose your temper, temptations to get frustrated, temptation to get discouraged, and the list goes on and on. When you're facing those things, claim this verse. In Christ, we are far above all principality and power and might and dominion. When we go to prayer, God gives us power over Satan and his forces when we humbly yield to him and pray. I think of the passage in Mark 9:29 that says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We started off in Acts 13, and the church was praying and fasting as they sent off these people to do the work of God. Praying and fasting. How familiar are we as God's people with prayer and fasting? How familiar are you? I have a lot of room to grow in that. But it is amazing to see what God does when we are willing to obey His word, willing to die to self. I love what Pastor meant. There's many wonderful things in that message this morning, but I remember one thing that he said was about Christianity of old. Many times was all about dying to self, what we can give up. And yet today, and I know it's a temptation in my life to look for things to make life easy. There's nothing wrong with certain of those things, but when we're living for that, when we're not willing to obey God in some area because we're afraid to give up some comfort, God isn't going to work through us like He wants to. He's not going to use us in the way He wants to. If we're not willing to labor in prayer, to make time in the morning, I think the morning is critical. I realize maybe you work third shift and there may be another time that's kind of the beginning of your day. But whatever the beginning of your day is, ought to be where you make time to pray. I love what I think it was Martin Luther maybe said, that he was so busy sometimes that he had to spend extra time in prayer. I think he said, I'm so busy today that I shall spend 3 hours in prayer, praying for God to work and to guide my day and to use me and help me today. And what a perspective, what a conviction that was to me. And it's amazing to see what God will do through prayer. There's persistent prayer. Luke 11:5-10 speaks of the man who had a friend that showed up on a journey and didn't have anything to eat. And this is completely in the context of prayer, too. If you look at Luke, the whole beginning of Luke chapter 11, you'll see this. But in verses 5-10 is the account of that man who went to his neighbor and knocked and was asking for bread. And he didn't get bread right away, but he kept knocking and asking. And finally, that person inside said, okay, I'm not giving it to you because you want it, but I'm giving it to you because you have continued to ask. And that is actually what God wants us to do in prayer. He wants us to do that. There are some situations where Christ told His disciples, like I mentioned, Mark 9:29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And if there's something you've been praying for a long time, and you haven't seen God answer that prayer, maybe you have fasted, but you know what? God wants us to grow in these areas of praying and fasting. And what a amazing thing it is. I remember even recently, and God is working in my heart. He is working me over with some of these truths and living these things out. But you know what? I remember in our deputation some, it was interesting to see the connection with when support would come in related to when I would fast and pray. It was a definite connection. And it was unbelievable. It was all of God. It was God doing it. God is pleased when He sees God's children willing to give up things to pray. And maybe you have some health need or something and you're not able to, fasting on food would be very detrimental to your health. But give up, maybe there's something else. God would want you to fast on any time you spend watching anything on the internet or on the TV and just spend that time in prayer. And you know, when you're fasting, I'm sure many of you have experienced that. You know, your stomach is rumbling, crying out for you to get something in there and eat. And what a great reminder that is to just pray. God uses that in my life to remind me, just pray. That's what, you know, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And I am at the very beginning stages of learning what that means. But when Hudson Taylor learned of Jonathan Goforth's plan to take the gospel to the Chinese province of Honan, I don't know if that's how you say it for sure, but having experienced repeated opposition and antagonism on the part of the residents, Taylor wrote, "Brother, if you would enter that province, you must go forward on your knees." And it's amazing to think. How many of you get Brother Needham's email updates? You see his updates. I love that little quote at the top right side of the of his prayer letter every time that says, can you remind me how it starts? No, I should have written it down. Let's see here. If anybody knows it, feel free to shout it out. But it's something to the effect of, away in foreign lands they wondered how their single word had power, referring to the missionary. And he just, you know, had an opportunity, wondered how that word had power, how that person just melted when the gospel was given. And then the last part of that is, at home, the Christians, two or three, had met to pray an hour. What a testimony of the power of prayer. It really is a powerful thing. And Satan hates it. He makes it so easy for us to skip prayer, to think, man, I'm so busy today, I don't have time to pray today. That is the biggest lie that Satan loves to plant in our lives as we start off our day. You know, a soldier going to battle, if he doesn't put on his armor, he is going to get shot through with holes throughout the day. And prayer is how we put on the armor of God, through prayer, through dependence on Him, getting on our face before God and starting off the day in prayer and saying, God, I can't raise these kids for You without Your strength. I can't do it without Your wisdom. I'll just get frustrated. I'll mess up all kinds of things throughout my day if I don't just depend on You right now, if I don't seek Your strength today. And I love, many of you have read many of James Frazier's books. And I love in his ministry in China, he attributed his success to a circle of intercessors who prayed for him and his converts. And he had great success. There were many genuine conversions and people that were greatly impacted. Frazier understood the fact that we are not simply conducting a business. We are fighting a spiritual war, and that is true for everybody who knows Christ. Whether you're a teenager, you are in a spiritual war. He wrote to his prayer circle, "These people out here are not only ignorant and superstitious, we are not dealing with an enemy that fires at the head only, that is, keeps the mind only in ignorance. This enemy uses gas attacks which wrap the people round with deadly effect and yet are impalpable, elusive. What would you think of the folly of the soldier who fired a gun into the gas to kill or drive it back? Poisonous gas cannot be dispersed, I suppose, in any other way than by the wind springing up and dispersing it." And that's the Spirit of God that does that in the spiritual warfare. "Man is powerless. The breath of God can blow away all those miasmic vapors from the atmosphere of a village in answer to your prayers. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. You deal with the fundamental issues of this Lysu work when you pray against the principalities, the powers, the rulers, the world rulers of this darkness." Think of that. You and I have more power than the world rulers we heard about this morning. When we're walking by faith and in Christ, according to Ephesians 1 here, we have more power against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, Ephesians 6:12. On the human side, evangelistic work on the mission field is like a man going about in a dark, damp valley with a lighted match in his hand, seeking to ignite anything ignitable. But things are damp through and through and will not burn however much he tries. In other cases, God's wind and sunshine have prepared beforehand, so that when the spark is applied, here and there a fire is kindled. Frazier attributed this to the power of prayer to prepare hearts to receive God's word. Frazier's analogy of a gas attack aptly describes one of the aspects of spiritual warfare we often experience. Instead of a direct frontal assault using artillery and tanks that you can see, avoid and target yourself, it is almost like a mist or fog settles in imperceptibly, obscuring everything in haze and shadow. Not only does this fog hinder the lost from grasping the content of our message, but it also seems to descend upon us believers at times as well. Frazier gave some helpful guidelines on how to pray by sharing how he himself prayed specifically for his own work. He wrote, "I continually pray to God to give me fresh knowledge of His will. I pray for more wisdom in dealing with the people, knowledge of how to pray, and how to maintain victory, how to instruct the people in the gospel or sing or in prayer. I pray for help in studying the language, help in ordinary conversation, and help in preaching. I pray for an opening for the word and blessing in other villages, for leaders and helpers to be raised up for me. as well as for guidance in the practical matters of daily life and physical necessities, he admitted, such detailed prayer is exhausting. And it is. It's work. We heard about that on the camp out some. But I believe effectual in regard to ascertaining the will of God and obtaining his highest blessing. How many of us are willing to go there in prayer? Willing to go there. How many here today? The same preacher my wife quoted earlier, that from the quote from Oswald Chambers, asked this question. He had everybody bow their heads, and I'm not going to do this because I know everybody here. He didn't really know everybody there. But he had everyone bow their heads, and he said, how many of you today sometime prayed for one or two of your missionaries? And there were like five or six people in the crowd that raised their hand. And I wonder, as you sit here tonight, how many of you have prayed for your missionaries, for one or two of them at least today? I'm sure I know many here in this room have, but I'm sure there are many who have not. Many here today that have not spent much time at all before the throne of grace. Many people that are probably even respected as a spiritual leader maybe. I know I have those days. But let's stay committed to prayer. Let's be reminded, Satan wants us to forget about the power of prayer. He wants us to forget the significance of it. He wants us to get caught up in day-to-day routine of good things, working hard, doing good things, but forgetting about the spiritual battle. He loves that. When God's people forget about that, when they think that they don't really need to pray much today. I don't really see much need to pray. You know, things are going pretty well. And boy, I really had a great day yesterday in the Lord's house. And I don't really need to pray today. Or today's the Lord's day. I don't really need to pray. You know, that's a big lie of the devil right there. This is the day that God wants to do the most in God's people. And that's God's people are the problem why we have 6,500 unreached people groups in the world. It's us that are the problem. We're not going with the gospel across the street. We're not going with the gospel to the gas station. We're not going with the gospel to that coworker who's going through a difficult time. We're not taking opportunities to obey God in some area. And many times it's in prayer. As we close tonight, I'd like us to close with some of these thoughts from some truths. And this was actually from that page that Tina emailed us the other day from that book by Andrew Murray on the ministry of intercessory prayer. And he says this, these are some truths that were taught in that book, that prayer is both indispensable and irresistible. That is, nobody can stop your prayer for them. You know, maybe you had a bad visit and they slammed the door in your face. That person cannot stop your prayer. Maybe discouragement will stop your prayer, and that's your choice. But you can break right through that closed door through prayer. You can get right inside the walls of that house as you walk away from that house and pray for that man. And in Christ, you are in the heavenlies. You have all power. Memorize those verses in Ephesians 1 there at the end of that chapter if you don't have those memorized. You are far above all principality. That Satan is the one who blinded that person to urge him to slam the door in your face. Pray for him. He can't stop it. He can't. Another truth, that untold power and blessing are stored for us in heaven. Infinite power and blessing. Another one here, that this power will make us a blessing to men and fit us to do any work or face any danger, any trial. That this power is to be sought in prayer continually and persistently. Just think of all the power there in heaven. Christ has all power. And we can get right into that throne room and get a hold of it through Jesus Christ. He will give it to us. That those who have the heavenly power can pray it down upon others. That is a scriptural truth. Here's another one, that in all the ministries of Christ's church, the local churches, prayer is the one secret of success. You want to be successful in ministry? You want to be successful in reaching people and just being a spirit-filled Christian? Prayer is the secret to that answer. Prayer is the secret to achieving that. And it's a secret because Satan keeps it from the eyes of and the hearts of many Christians from understanding that. Here, the last one, that prayer can defy all the power of the world and fit men to conquer that world for Christ. But as we close, the question is, are you willing to be like that importunate man who went to his neighbor and didn't stop knocking until he was given what he knew he needed? That's how God wants us to pray many times. But we're not willing to do it. We give up on that person that God divinely brought across our path. And maybe you don't see them for a while, but do you stop praying for them? Do you scratch them off your prayer list? Do you have a prayer list? Pray how God wants you to pray. Let's seek the Lord's help as we go to Him in prayer right now and ask for Him to guide us and help us to make the decisions He wants us to make. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You, God, that You are a God who is so patient with us. Lord, I know that You are patient with me. And Lord, I take so long to learn many of these truths that You want me to learn. And Lord, I just pray tonight for Your grace and Your mercy upon us as Your people here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for every person here. Lord, strengthen our hearts. Help us tonight to make the decisions You want us to pray. Lord, help us to deal with hindrances to prayer in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight. God has convicted you of some hindrance to prayer in your life. And by an uplifted hand, you would just acknowledge to the Lord, with no one looking around, you know what? That's me. There's a hindrance God has brought to my mind, and I'm going to deal with it, whatever it might be. Would you just slip your hand up quietly, nobody looking around? And I'm not really even paying attention to who's raising their hand. Just acknowledge it before the Lord. Okay, you can put those hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're not saved. You've never received by faith that saving work of Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you just slip your hand into the air and you want to deal with that tonight maybe? You're willing to admit you know you need to deal with it. Anybody here? Last of all, maybe God just convicted your heart about something I'm not even mentioning. Or maybe God has convicted you. I know we could all raise our hands and say, God has convicted me to pray more. But maybe there is some specific truth in God's word that He showed you tonight from His word, and you're going to claim that by faith and see God grow your prayer life in some way. Would you just slip your hand in the air? Amen. Father, thank You. Please help us. Work in our hearts, Lord. We need You. You are the only one that can help us with this. Help us, Lord, to remember we are in a spiritual battle, and You are depending upon us to pray in order for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we ask for Your strength. We pray that You would lift the blinders off of some eyes tonight, maybe that have been living for themselves and are not willing to live for You. They claim the blood of Christ and claim Your gift of eternal life, but they're really living an empty spiritual life. They haven't seen Your supernatural hand working in their life because of harbored sin, because of just an unwillingness to obey You. Lord, work in my heart. You are showing me many things in my life. Lord, help us to deal with them tonight and let You work that we might see this church go forward here in Maquonago, in the communities around, and in around the world through missionaries and through other servants of God that are preaching Your word. Lord, we just ask for Your help tonight in this very, very important area. We pray for Your blessing now as we as Your people make decisions for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.